Lucas Aubin, a researcher invited by the Institute, a French Institute of Culture here in Iași. Welcome, first of all, at our news radio program. For the beginning, I want to ask you, taking into account your preoccupation, your research preoccupation related to sports used as a soft power tool, I wanted to ask you, in this current framework of war between Russia and Ukraine, how do you think that the sports infrastructure that was developed by Russia during these years, the events that they organized at an international level, could improve their geopolitical stance in the international arena, taking into account the current tensions and the current geopolitical situation?
It's a very interesting question, actually, because since a decade, more or less, there is, of course, a big problem in the geopolitic and sporting area with Russia. Between 2015 and 2020, we already had this doping state scandal. And then since the 24th of February 2022, we have the war between Ukraine and Russia. For the IOC, the idea was to expulse actually Russia from Olympics, but also from the other big sporting events. And facing that, the Russian power and Vladimir Putin decided to create another sporting system, another sporting model. We could call it a microcosm, actually, of international sports. They tried to create like three international sporting events, like the Games of the Future, the Games of the BRICS, the new countries, and the Games of the Friendship. It's interesting because they tried to find this package of new sporting events from the Soviet past before the Second World War. Under Lenin and then Stalin, we had in Russia, in USSR, we had the Spartakiad, and today we have the new games of Russia. Of course, in a geopolitical point of view, it can be interesting because it can be like a symbol. You know, the idea for Vladimir Putin is to show the fact that, you see, we can create our own model, we can use sports without IOC, without FIFA, without World Cup, without Olympics, for example. But the truth is, it's today impossible to compete with Olympics and Football World Cup. Just impossible because half of the humanity is watching it through television. Who knows about Game of the Future? Who knows about Game of the BRICS? Who knows about Game of the Friendship? Not a lot of people. And from my perspective, the idea for Russia is mostly symbolic, but in middle term or long term, they would like to come back to the traditional sports system, and the idea will be to reintegrate IOC in a classic way, FIFA in a classic way, etc., etc. So we are now in a posture, but from my perspective, it's not gonna take long before Russia will come back, till, of course, the war ends.
And Russia, in its mission to replicate these events, these competitions and these institutions, mainly increases current divisions among countries, among nations. Do you feel that at some point sports could enhance the possibility to reconcile two countries such as Russia and Ukraine under the sign of sports?
From my perspective, we have two paths. The first one will be the disintegration of the sporting system as we know it today. It means that we could see, we could face to anatomization of the sport, and we could see, for example, Western countries competing together and non-Western countries competing together. That will be a possibility. Actually, Vladimir Putin is now trying to do something like that. But the observation is the fact that if sports can be used to show how countries are split, it could also create like a link between two worlds. And from my perspective, if next year in 2025 we have like a peace agreement between Ukraine and Russia or a ceasefire in between Ukraine and Russia, the sporting international organization could be the first to reconnect the countries. We have seen it in the past already. I think we could see it in the future. But we need also to understand that we are in a new world era right now, a multipolar world. And I also see FIFA, International Sporting Organization in general, they are born in Western countries, they are living in Switzerland, they have Western view in general, Western opinion and something like that. And my question is, do they will succeed to go inside of this new era, actually, with non-Western countries, with Western countries, with the new political views and everything? For now, we don't have the answer.
You have spoken previously about 2025 as a possible year for starting, let's say, some peace negotiations. There is this political speech also among the Russian Federation, among Ukraine, and of course inside the European Union and inside of the United States, taking into account the future mandate of President Donald Trump. How would these diplomatic channels turning now on current affairs be fitted in order to hope for us that a peace agreement will be dealt in the end?
About Ukraine and Russia?
Yeah.
It's hard to say for now, actually. From my perspective, we don't have to overestimate sports and its importance in geopolitics and international affairs. Of course, it's my subject, but I don't want to put it too much in a too bigger importance. For now, I think there is nothing better than a classic diplomatic relationship. And I think next year, after Donald Trump will get to the head of Washington, he will try with Vladimir Putin and maybe with European Union and with Volodymyr Zelensky to find a peace agreement, which will be very hard to find, actually, because he prepared Donald Trump a peace plan. But its peace plan, for me, it's not fitted with the interest either of Volodymyr Zelensky and Vladimir Putin. So everything is needed to be built, actually. So, yeah, I think for now it's hard to make a prevision to see the future of this war. Maybe in 2025 it's gonna be over, maybe it's gonna be the beginning of another war, maybe, yeah. We are living now in a troubled times, and I don't want to try to predict the future.
Having this turning point of a war near European Union's borders, and taking into account the French position of encouraging arming and trying to find a solution that does not depend mainly on the United States, how do you see these developments in terms of defense inside the European Union?
I'm not very optimistic because We are 27 in European, 27 countries in European Union. We should be unite in this context, and we should try to create a European army to face the new issues in a geopolitical matter of the 21st century. But now we can see that we don't have many big decisions in that direction, and we are still European Union. When I say we, the European Union, we are still connected with USA, with NATO, and the big problems that we face now, of course, is the fact that Trump, Donald Trump, is coming, and his politics is very different than the politics of Joe Biden, for example. So I don't see an adaptation from European Union towards the new geopolitical issue. So my perspective for now, it's I mostly see divisions inside of European Union than union. Of course, we can see that Joe Biden, Emmanuel Macron, for example, try to keep helping Ukraine, but in French we call it le chant du cygne, which means something like the sing of the bird, okay. The last sing of the bird, yeah, something like that. And in my opinion, if Donald Trump decides to not support Ukraine anymore, European Union couldn't support it either.
Speaking about the reality on the ground of the current war and in the aftermath of the United States' decision to allow Ukraine to use rockets inside Russian territory, especially in the Kursk area, and also the decision of the Russian Federation to use much more powerful weapons in order to attack Ukraine. Would these developments change anything when it comes to finding a solution to this conflict?
From my perspective, this decision from Joe Biden is arriving too late. It will be very hard to see the Russian troops going back from the Donbas, especially. So from my perspective, it's like, as I say, the song of the bird, the last song of the bird. And it's hard for me to imagine that Donald Trump will keep allowing that when he will arrive in 2 months. The question now is, where is the red line for Russia before to use nuclear weapons, for example? We can see that it's not now, it's not with this allowance from Joe Biden, but we can totally imagine that there will be an escalation in the next 2 months between Russia and not Ukraine, but between Russia and Western countries. Also, we need to add the fact, and it's very important, that now we have North Korean troops on the ground. So it means that we have, from one side, 3 countries against Ukraine and Western countries. So we have Belarus, we have Russia, and we have North Korea. So somehow we can see that we are at the beginning of a bigger war than we thought before. But of